Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls. We have with us this morning, or this evening, David Morgan, and we're going to be talking about, of course, what's happening financially to America. America was once the greatest lending nation in the world, and people came to America to borrow money. We had the gold. We had the wealth of the world. America was the greatest industrial power in the world. We produced more, and we still, in many respects, produce more than other countries, but every year we produce a little less because there's an organized program to transfer America's industrial capacity and America's wealth throughout the world. Today, we are the world's greatest debtor nation, and every year the debt goes up higher and higher. We're not only owe other countries money, of course, are borrowing these massive amounts of money to fund an insatiable deficit, and of course, as you know, they're talking about $450 billion deficit this year. Now, you must understand, you can always tell a politician or a bureaucrat when they're lying because their lips are moving. They forget to mention the other $250 to $300 billion they're stealing from Medicare and Social Security and future generations. And, of course, that simply is tacked on to our national debt, which, of course, will probably be $750 billion this year. We have a financial system that's built on a house of cards. And with us is David Morgan to give us perhaps some perspective on what's going on. David, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about who you are and why, of course, you are, of course, are trying to educate people at least about what's happening with the silver markets.
Okay, Stan. Well, thank you for having me on your show. My background actually started off in the hard sciences. I have a background in engineering, actually, and then I went on. But finance and business was my true love, and I just sort of continued down that path, although I did, as I say, start off in engineering. I then went on to business school and got a degree in international finance, international business finance. And I've been interested in the precious metals markets basically since about 1975 or so. And to give a real long background, I turned 50 this year. And when I was an 11-year-old kid, I was given 25 cents a week as an allowance. And that was right at the change between the silver quarters or silver currency in the United States of America and the Johnson slugs. And I remember getting those quarters that were silver and then suddenly switching to these cupro nickel quarters. And I remember looking at those holding in my hand and thinking to myself, there's no way in the world that this one here with this copper in it can be equal to this one over here with the silver in it. And I was only 11 years old at the time. And I didn't know what the future held for me personally and what direction my life would take, but it's obviously taken a turn toward honest money and what the real economy is built upon.
Well, I think that most people do not understand that down throughout all history, money has been built on something of value. And when, of course, it goes, becomes a fiat money system, it eventually is destroyed. And you see, of course, the destruction of ancient Athens because, of course, of the corruption of their currency and the destruction, certainly, of ancient Rome because they corrupted their currency, whereas the other half of the Roman Empire, everybody's forgotten, the other half was headed in Constantinople. And they kept a stable currency and they survived into the 1200s, whereas Rome fell in the late 480. We're going to be back here in just a moment with our special guest, David Morgan. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is David Morgan, and we're going to be talking about money, and we're going to be talking about money in relationships to what's happening to our country politically and spiritually and certainly financially. So David, of course, is trained as an engineer. He also has degrees in international finance. He's 50 years old. He's a very, very certainly a well-qualified, well-informed young man. He happens to be a personal friend of John Loeffler, so that gives him a very, very high recommendation. David, it's so good to have you with us here at Radio Liberty.
Thank you, Stan. It's a pleasure.
Let's talk a little bit about, where your life. You were telling us just a few moments ago that, when you were very young, you suddenly realized that when they began to corrupt our currency, and when they began to take away the silver in our currency, you realized, of course, that something was wrong. And, of course, really it is. What they do is they create all this phony money, and then they buy the votes of the people, and you get them behind the government. And it works really well for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. But eventually comes the day of reckoning, especially as our country moves from the world leader to a nation that's hated throughout the world. In fact, they say in the Muslim countries today, why, if Osama bin Laden is far more powerful, far better liked than George Bush, because the people of the world really feel that we are going to just push anybody around we want to and destroy any government we want to and overthrow legitimately elected officials, whether if they do not go along with our agendas. And we've seen this time and time again, that the American people seem to be blind to the fact that men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. And we sit back and we say, well, as long as things are good for me, why should I worry about what's going on in Africa or in the Middle East or in communist China, where with the full support of our government, they're persecuting Christians on a regular basis? Well, go ahead, David.
Okay. Well, I agree with you, Stan. That's quite a point. I wanted to bring up one thing that you mentioned about the fall of monetary history. Let me just back up a moment. Monetary history is one of my areas that I dearly love. And as you pointed out, the fall of the Roman Empire. And it didn't happen overnight. But if you study monetary history, what you find is this cycle repeats over and over and over. You'll have value-based money, and then you will have a corruption of the currency. The currency's debauched. And you will find, because of that, you get a degrading in both the moral values of the society and obviously the financial capacity of the society. And that's played out throughout history. Now, there's no exact science on exactly how long that takes, but my work has shown it's roughly at approximately 30 years. We went off the international gold standard in 1971, August 1971.
I remember that day so well, listening to the radio and hearing that, and I was up in the backwoods of Canada. We'll be right back. Well, Dr. Stan and our guest this evening is David Morgan. We're talking about financial history, so you go ahead and pick up the story there, David.
So what you find is it's about a 30-year time from the time you go onto a purely fiat currency. So August 1971 to August 2003 is obviously 32 years, and it's not a precise 30 years, but what you find is that's the time that you really start to witness the effect of this. The thing that has me the most, I would say, keyed up about this event is, from all of my work in monetary history, it's the first time that it's a worldwide phenomenon. Now, you can make that statement probably in the Roman Empire that was a worldwide phenomenon as well, so I want to be clear about that, but obviously we're several centuries ahead of that. And basically, all world commerce is based upon the U.S. dollar. It's the international trade currency. It's the reserve currency of the entire world. And it's the way that all commodities are priced. And commodities, of course, are needs, not wants. So because of that fact, I believe that this time, when the financial situation hits the proverbial fan, what you're going to witness is probably more than just a recession. You're probably going to see a pullback and a financial unwinding that has probably not been witnessed since the Great Depression.
But David, we're told that we're in a recovery now. We're having a jobless recovery, and all the pundits say a jobless recovery. It's wonderful. Look at the market. Look at, of course, the earnings that our companies are getting overseas, not in this country. But how do you counter that argument that things are really pretty good and we're just on the way out of this recession?
Well, I think it's, to quote the Bible, eyes that see. If you look and you see what's actually taking place, is first of all the way that the government accounts for those numbers. if you look into those numbers, what you're going to find is what you find in private financial analysts such as myself. There's one in Colorado that does an excellent job, and he pointed out very succinctly that many of these jobs that people are receiving that once had jobs, say, in the $60,000, $50,000 range are now barely able to get a job at, say, half that amount, $25,000 a year. So they're counted as employed, and then the government will make this statistical analysis that, well, look, the jobless, you know, there's more jobs being created or whatever. In other words, the jobless rate is peaking out, was starting to recover, that kind of a statement. Well, from a amount of jobs being lost point of view, that you might make that argument, even that's weak. But if you look behind the numbers and see what the overall effect is, it's not going to be a recovery. Secondly, something that very few people talk about, and I've started talking about this a year and a half ago, is when you have a significant unemployment, the tax base goes down. So the government only has a few ways to create, they don't produce anything. So in order to keep the government functioning, they either have to borrow the money from the Federal Reserve System, a private banking consortium, or they have to tax the money out of the people. And when the tax base goes down, they usually resort to printing it. And, of course, that's been going on for quite some time, as you know, Stan. So basically, I'm going to quote Elliot Janeway. It's not my quote. And I'm not sure I totally agree with it, although I think it's food for thought for the listener. And what he said was that the last Great Depression would make, or the next Great Depression, excuse me, the next Great Depression would make the last Great Depression look like a small technical correction. And what he was trying to convey was that we're so interconnected today and there's so much that's not produced in this country. It's a service-oriented society now. If you go back to my background in economics, what you find from the Austrian school is that the classic definition of capital isn't money. It's the means of production. We are a bunch of service providers. We have people that mow your lawns, fix your nails, do your hair, help you shop, personal assistants, life insurance salesmen, stock brokers, car detailers, all these service jobs, computer technicians. I'm not making a moral argument if they're good or bad. All I'm trying to point out is that in a service-based economy, you're not producing very much. All the production's coming out of Asia.
And in fact, it was so interesting. Recently, the Bush administration decided they were going to, of course, try to beef up the economy, so they offered everybody with a child $400. In other words, instead of having a $600 income tax deduction, you're going to have $1,000. But they're going to give you that to give it to you in advance. So you're going to get $400 in cash from the government that you can go out and spend to stimulate the economy. But as somebody once said, yes, we're going to stimulate the economy, and people are going to go out and buy all these products made in communist China and made in South Korea. And, of course, we're going to really stimulate the economy of communist China and South Korea. But we're not going to stimulate our economy because they're not buying anything produced in America. We're not producing our TVs. We're not producing the things in Walmart. But we're not producing computers or videos or any of these things. They're all produced overseas. So that money is going to go to stimulate the economy of foreign countries, but not our own economy, because we've already shipped all of our industries or so many of them offshore.
That's so true. In fact, I'll quote Janeway again. He said, you're going to see the game end. He called the financial markets large speculative casinos. That's a direct quote. And he said, the game would end when you and I, Stan, are sitting at a table across from each other, and all we have to offer each other is to sell each other life insurance policies. And that's what he was trying to convey, was that we cannot live a high lifestyle, if you will, on borrowed money indefinitely. Sooner or later, the piper has to be paid. And I believe that we have reached that point. We're starting to see, obviously, the huge contraction in the bond market. Most people that are not really well studying the financial markets, and I'm not saying everyone should be, that's maybe why they're listening to the show, don't realize that the financial markets in the debt-based markets, meaning mostly bonds, either corporate-level bonds or government securities, are huge compared to the stock market. There's several times the factor of money in the bond market that there is in the stock market. So if the bond market starts to contract, that has a compounding effect on the overall economy and will also directly affect the stock market.
Now, what do you mean by bond market contracts? What does that phrase mean? The people aren't buying bonds, or of course the interest rates are falling, or what?
Well, the interest rates start to go up, and as the interest rates go up, the value of the bond comes down.
All right.
And so, as an engineer, I was taught to look at things through all possibilities. And of course, these things don't normally exist in nature, but if you look at all possibilities, it clarifies your thinking. So let's do that for a moment, Stan. If you have an interest rate of 1,000% a year, the bond would basically be worthless, because what that would say to you is that the risk is so high that the bond is willing to pay a huge amount. On the other hand, if you have a very low interest rate, the perception is that the bond is so stable and the money markets are so stable that they're only allowing you, say, 2 or 3% on the bond. And that's basically what we've had here for quite some time. But you and I both know, and the common man in the street knows, that the monetary system is not very stable. So those yields are really not telling the truth. What happens is that even though the Federal Reserve can set the interest rate, they just set the starting gate, so to speak. The market itself will take over. So to try to make the point clear, as the market itself determines the interest rates, which in order for them to want, in order for the market in the bond market to keep stable, the interest rates have to go up in order for people to hold on to that paper and not cash it in. That means as interest rates go up, the value of the bond goes down, and that's what we're seeing in a very strong way here in the last few weeks. That starts to shake up the thinking in the whole financial system. They start to think, well, these United States bonds, I know they can always pay them back because they can print the money and give it to me, but what is that money going to be worth when I get it? And that starts to enter into the thinking or the consciousness of the whole financial system. That is the crux of the argument. If you have the bond market start to degrade, interest rates start to go up, then you're going to have people scrambling for liquidity. What you have then is a lot of selling pressure on the bonds. People start to say, or institutions really, most of the holders of these bonds are indirectly the public, but they're large institutions, insurance companies, for example, large banking entities, also huge brokerage houses have most of these bonds. They start to sell them out. Well, like any commodity or any stock, the more selling pressure is, the faster the price goes down. As the price of the bond goes down, the price of the underlying company may go down at a corporate level. For example, a General Motors bond. I'm not picking on General Motors. I'm just using it as an example. But if the debt of General Motors is perceived to be not repayable, they'll lower the value of the bond, the rating of the bond, from like an A to a B to a C. People will cash them out because they're lower rated, and that'll affect the overall company, GM, and the stock price will come down as well. People that held the bonds for an insurance company, for example, they get scared and start, you know, selling them further and further. So, I mean, it's all interconnected. It's really not all that complicated, but it is interesting at this point in history, Stan, because we have never seen the amount of paper creation that we've seen since 1970 in the history of the world. But we do know from monetary history what happens.
Well, of course, and, you know, I think last time I looked, the debt of this country, if they took in the federal and the state, and what is it? Is it $30 or $40 trillion? You probably know those figures. The total debt of this country, I think probably about $33-34 trillion, and it's going up so rapidly, just like a rocket, because of course they're creating all this new money and all this new liquidity, which eventually is of course going to come crashing down around us, but they're doing this frantically to try to keep it from crashing during their watch.
Well, that's exactly right. No one wants to be left holding the bag, so to speak, when this thing does fall.
All right, fine. Well, of course, we're going to be back here in just a moment or two with our special guest today, David Morgan, talking about what's happening to our financial markets. And when they talk to you about a jobless recovery, what they really mean is the plunge protection team, the stockbrokers and the Fed and some of the big banks are going in, and they're buying stocks to keep the economy up, or at least to keep the stock market up. But of course, we're not having healthy growth. We're not creating new jobs, because there's an organized plan to systematically ship America's industrial capacity out of this country, and it's about time you realize there are people who have loyalty not to America, but to an internationalist dream, a new world order, and a new world religion, and the time is going to come to pay the piper.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City, what really happened to TWA 800, and the Winter Room of the Eastern Coast of Yagi? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Fred Roberts, entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working with the Oklahoma City bombing. And this book has been suppressed very effectively across America, and it's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book anymore that will give you a more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Do you ever feel sort of run down, that you need more energy? Well, let me tell you about a product. It's called Be Alive Royal Jelly, and I've used this for close to 10 years, and my family has used it. We've been very, very happy with it. And it, recently, the company came and offered to sponsor us for a month, so we certainly agreed to that. We think it's a great, great product. It's made from the royal jelly that comes from the beehive. This is what the queen bee eats. It's sold with a money-back guarantee. If at the end of 3 months you're not completely satisfied and you don't have more energy, just give them a call. But if you'd like to get Be Alive Royal Jelly, call 1-866-233-7500. That's 1-866-233-7500. And I'm sure you're going to be very, very satisfied with the product. All right, well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me just tell you about a couple of the other things that we carry. You know, we were talking right now about, of course, the finances. We carry a wonderful book. It was written 20, 30 years ago by Andrew Dixon White. It's called Fiat Money, Inflation in France. It's really the story of what happened in France after the French Revolution in 1789. That, along with the book The Law by Bastiat, we carry both of them. You get both of them together. But really, to understand what's going on, you have to understand history. Let me suggest both of those books together. I think something like $15, something like that. But call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Ask for Fiat Money, Inflation in France. And, of course, Bastiat's The Law. It'll give you a great lesson in history. You'll know more than most college graduates. And then let me simply mention, of course, the water filters. We carry the Big Berkey water filter. We carry the Berkey Light water filter. Big Berkey is, of course, the standard used by missionaries. It's made out of stainless steel. It's attractive. You put 2.5 gallons in the top, and it comes out the bottom. It goes through ceramic filters. The Berkey Light is made of Lexan. It's transparent, and you can actually see the water levels. And, of course, you do exactly the same thing. But the Black Berkey filters really work much better. They purify the water instead of simply filtering it. Do a great, great job. But those have to be replaced every 2 to 4 years. So now, of course, you can get the Black Berkey filter separate. The Big Berkey is not available in California or Iowa. The Berkey Light is. The Big Berkey is $239. When you buy it from us, we give you a 4-tape set or video we've produced. The Berkey Light is $199, and of course we recommend both of them, but if you're in California, we can only sell you the Berkey Light. But in case there was an emergency, you'd want to have one of those. Of course, if you want to make sure that your water is as pure as you can get, call us at 1-800-544-8927 right now. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and our guest is David Morgan, and he's talking about what's really happening on the bond market. And, of course, interest rates are going up on bonds, which really means that people are beginning, of course, to lose confidence in the bonds. That would be a fairly good statement, David?
Yeah, I think that's probably a more succinct way of saying it than I've been saying. Basically, the interest rate on a bond is not only the yield that people are after. I mean, like, for example, some of us retired, and they might look at, like, say, a 10% interest rate. That's a pretty healthy interest rate. And, you know, $1 million at 10% would be $100,000 a year. I'd be pretty comfortable in today's standard of living.
Yeah, as long as the dollar holds its value.
As long as the dollar holds its value.
If the dollar loses its value, of course, you know, you may not be able to buy a loaf of bread with that. And people can't imagine that happening here. But
yeah,
why not?
That's what I wanted to continue on. It's also an indication of the risk. So the higher the interest rate is, the greater the risk. And that was my earlier example. If the interest rate was extremely high, it would mean the risk is so great that you would that it would be worthless, that people wouldn't even invest in the bond. This is what you've seen happen time and time again in the South American countries. You get these unbelievable interest rates, but all that indicates is the risk in the market, the risk that the market perceives is phenomenal. And so there is no advanced capital markets in a lot of the South American countries. Now, in a market such as the United States that have had, you know, strict rule of law, that was our founding, which we've gotten very, very far away from, you know, over the last several decades. But in the advanced capital markets where things were run with a tight ship at one time, and that perception kind of is carrying us forward, you will see that the unwinding of that will be a phenomenon probably never witnessed before in the history of the world. At least that's my personal opinion. So that's the thing to watch, is when the interest rates go up, it's showing the risk in the market. And right now, it's not fully discounted, the risk that's out there, because the risk is that all fiat currencies will reach their intrinsic value of zero, and that's a quote from Voltaire. It will happen, or close to it. I really don't predict that it'll happen. I do believe that a foreign entity, probably China, will come out with a gold-backed currency. They've already talked about the gold yuan. It's been in my newsletter about 6 months ago. I do think that will take place. I don't think that's going to happen this year or next. I think they're probably three to five years out on that. But whatever country goes on some kind of a stable or honest currency, I think will become the true leader in the financial markets going forward. If that country happens to be China, as an example, and they're also the main producer of the world's goods, they really are going to be the leader, because they've not only got a stable currency, they're also producing the most goods in the world, not services, but goods, hard goods.
And I think the thing that people have to understand is, if America ceases to be the reserve currency of the world, why, all those dollars throughout the entire world are going to come back here, flooding into this country. You're talking about, you know, hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars, and they're going to wreck our economy. Let's go to Fred quickly before we have to go to the break. Fred, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yes, I had a quick question for him. If he could tell me if this is true, I heard on C-SPAN on a question and answer period, this fellow said that the main reason we had to go into Iraq immediately was that they were starting to exchange their oil for the euro, and we had to stop that. And I don't know if you noticed, right after we got into Baghdad, we immediately sent two plane loads of currency down to Iraq.
All right, let's get David's response to that. Thanks so much, Fred.
Okay. Yes, he is well informed. It is true. The Iraq had decided to pay for oil in euros, and that's pretty much verboten by the financial elite. They want all commodities to trade in dollars. I'm just going to add something there, Stan, if you allow me. I saw a science fiction movie. I don't remember the name of it. I'll give credit. But it was very fascinating to me, because monetary history is such a fascinating subject to me. And this was at an airport in the future. And the guy went up to the currency exchange window, like most international airports have, and he was allowed to exchange currency for every currency that existed, but they wouldn't accept U.S. dollars. I thought, wow, is that ahead of its time or what?
Well, I think that people have to understand that what's taking place is really all planned ahead of time. You go back and you read Edward Bellamy's book, Looking Backward, written in 1880, and he talks at that time how at the year 2000, this is 120 years hence, why, of course, that an American credit card will be just as good in Europe as gold once was. So nothing is happening simply by accident. It's all long-range planning. And behind that are the dark spirits of forces that energized Edward Bellamy and the people who surrounded him. And they were the basis of the modern-day socialist movement. In fact, after Bellamy wrote that book, socialist clubs were, of course, organized all over the United States and Europe. And this was the beginning of the verses, this popularization of the Marxist movement, the establishment of a ruling elite to look over the people. And Edward Bellamy talks about the Great Trust. All the corporations kept getting bigger and bigger and uniting until eventually there was just one, the Great Trust, which controlled everything in the world. And I believe that day is coming, and it's coming very, very soon.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, Cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure Allicin garlic extract? You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic, and guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Hello.
All right, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course we want to mention, if you really want to understand the financial system, I think one of the best books we carry is, of course, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's The Creature from Jekyll Island, and it'll go into the background really of so much of what's going on today, and a real understanding of how our currency is, everything is built upon debt, and of course it is a vehicle by which a small group are able to control the rest of the world. Of course, if we carry The Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time by Professor Quigley, on page 324, this man who was the mentor to Bill Clinton explains the central banks and how they really control the nations of the world, and their goal is a feudalistic system. That means they're the feudal lords and we're the feudal slaves. It's all there. Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And page 325, they quote the head of the Midlands Bank in England saying, you know, most people wouldn't really like to hear the truth. But the truth is that a small group really controls the government. Who prints the money controls the future of a nation. And that's really what it's all about. Is it simply coincidence that since 1913, when the Fed was established, all but one chairman came from the Council on Foreign Relations? Is that coincidence? Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest is David Morgan. And David, before I forget, do you have a newsletter or some information you'd like to get out about your work?
I certainly do. It's silver-investor.com. That's silver-investor.com. I have specialized pretty much in the silver area, but I'm basically an honest money, hard money advocate and have been for several years, over 25 actually. I do look at the economy. There's several free articles on the website, Stan, that available for free, and then those that are serious students of the market or want to invest with some guidance, I do produce a paid subscription service by email or regular mail. In fact, it's also available by fax if someone would like to get it in that manner. So it's fax, email, or hard copy, depending on the subscriber.
All right, fine. And so our guest is David Morgan. And, you know, there's some pretty smart people out there. Certainly one of them is Warren Buffett, the sage of Omaha. He talks about where we stand today, where our banks have trillions of dollars in something called the debentures. And of course, most people don't understand what these things are, but he refers to them as financial weapons of mass destruction, a latently lethal but worrisome but potentially lethal. In other words, if we ever, of course, this thing ever comes tumbling down, why, of course, the whole economic system is going to come down. And Warren Buffett is very, very concerned. That's why he has invested, I know, some of his money into silver. And I understand that other people like Soros and William Gates have done that as well, Bill Gates.
Well, that's true. I wrote an article, I think it's been about 2 years now. It was from my visit as a speaker to the Chicago Natural Resource Conference. And I had had my booth there, and one of the gold site guys had come by and introduced himself in person. And I knew him from the internet, but I had never, you know, seen him face to face. So we were talking, and he said, you know, I said, well, you know, there's been a lot more interest in the precious metals here in the last couple of years. And he said, yes. I said, it's like the smart money's moving into gold. He said, yeah, Dave, but the smartest money's moving into silver. And, of course, me being the silver guy, that really hit a chord with me. So I came home and I wrote an article called The Smartest Money. And in that article, I point out that arguably the best investor of all time, Mr. Warren Buffett, bought 129.7 million ounces of silver. Bill Gates, the richest man in the world, according to the Forbes Richest 400, owns over 14% of a major silver company. George Soros, good or bad, he's obviously a billionaire, and he owns 40% of a silver mining company. So these, you know, it's funny that silver is always referred to as the poor man's gold, and yet these billionaires are the guys that are jumping in the silver train, not on the gold side. I'm not saying that Gates or Buffett don't have any gold. I don't really know, but it is obvious that they've made quite, for them, not really that large a bet either, which makes it so interesting. In fact, we should talk about that for a minute. The total assets of Berkshire Hathaway, less than 2% are on the silver market. And yet what he bought, the almost 130 million ounces of silver, that much doesn't exist in any one location anywhere in the world today, Stan. In other words, if Warren Buffett just decided tomorrow morning and woke up and said, you know what, this representation of silver in the Berkshire Hathaway portfolio is less than 2%, and I want to move it all the way up to a whopping 4% and double his position in silver, I don't think the delivery could be made. Right now, the amount of silver that's on the COMEX is only about 105 million ounces. But of that 105 million ounces, only about 42 million ounces are actually registered and available for delivery. The other 65 million ounces or so is what's called the eligible category. And the eligible category is actually just resting in the COMEX warehouse and owned by long-term, far-sighted investors. So the pool of available silver is shrinking all the time, and that's what makes it such a fascinating study, is that this is the type of information that you don't get from Wall Street, you don't get from Barron's, you're not going to read it in Forbes, you're going to have to find it either on the Internet or from a financial independent newsletter writer such as myself.
All right, fine. Well, first then, you are very, very bullish on silver, I assume.
Oh, absolutely. I truly believe that it is probably the most undervalued commodity on Earth right now. And I do believe it's probably the best way for the underdog or the little guy to preserve his, you know, financial well-being in the next decade.
All right, fine. Of course, the thing is, though, that you're going to have to know when to get out. Because I remember before when silver got to $50 and everybody said, it's going to go to 100, don't sell, you know. And, of course, the people who hung on wrote it all the way down to $2.50 an ounce. Somebody just called in and wants to know if it's better to invest in silver than gold, and if so, why?
Well, I wouldn't say better. I would say I advocate several things, and I'll try to be brief. One, I think the most important investment you can make is in the physical metal itself. So you either want to buy bars or coins to start with. I do favor silver over gold, but gold obviously has more stability and it's more mainstream. I mean, you will see articles and from time to time positive commentary from the main financial press about gold ownership. So I do weight the portfolio that we have as a model in our newsletter, and I do have gold in there for stability purposes, although we do emphasize silver. I think if you are, depending on your age, your ability to take risk, I would not hesitate to, you know, definitely include silver in the portfolio, but I would not recommend a silver-only portfolio. The reason silver will move more is for several reasons. One, there's less available silver for investment than there is gold. Secondly, there's a lot more common people than there are elite. In other words, a lot of folks that might not be able to put $2,000 and get two gold coins at the top of the market, and that's assuming that gold hits $1,000 an ounce, which I believe it's easily going to happen over the next decade, will go into the coin shop at the top of the market to buy, and they look at, geez, I got one coin for $1,000. I could buy silver when it's 50 and get all these coins. So basically, there'll be a rush, more of a rush at the end of the market for silver. Lastly, it's common sense. I mean, gold's sitting around the 350 mark right now. How easy is it for gold to go to double from 350 to 700? I believe it will do that, but it's a lot easier for silver to go from 5 to 10, especially if you understand this fact. Silver today is the lowest price in real terms that it's ever been for the 5,000 years of recorded history. Let me repeat that. If you look at silver's true value, its true price, we have to do these things because of the fiat currency. But the actual inflation-adjusted price for silver today is the lowest price it's been in financial history. So if anyone believes in the common axiom of buy low, sell high, buying silver now is buying low as it's ever been, and that means that the risk is as low as it's probably ever going to be. Does that mean silver can't drop another dime tomorrow? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean it can't get down to 450? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is if you buy it and own it and it's fully paid for, if it goes another 20 or 30 cents to the downside, so what? Because the upside potential has already been $50 an ounce, which is 10 times what it is today. Secondly, if we take that $50 an ounce in 1980 and extrapolate to where it would be in the year 2003, meaning all the paper money that's been created for the last 23 years, and we back that by silver, which you'll find is $150 an ounce, to $250 an ounce. Now, I know those numbers sound absolutely absurd, extreme, and radical, but if someone came to you and said that the stock market couldn't ever get over 1,000 in 1967 and kept hitting what we called the ceiling at 1,000, was going to go over 10,000, you would say it was a nutcase. It's impossible, and yet we've all witnessed that in our lifetime. So where these metals are going to go, it depends on several factors, which we might talk about later in the show, I don't know. I'm not predicting that yet. I do believe that both gold and silver have a long ways to go in fiat currency, but when to sell is the most important question, and I think we should address that, Stan. I made the mistake in 1980 of not selling the gold that I had at the time, and the reason I didn't is my overstudied capacity. I looked at it, and I knew what had happened to monetary history, and I felt very sure, or not, I felt almost certain, had I sold my gold for fiat paper, that I would be left holding the bag, so to speak. The paper wouldn't buy anything. Well, I was dead wrong about that. And, of course, the bond market got up to over 20% when Volcker took over as the chief of the Fed. The best place you could have gone would have been to sell your gold, go straight in the bond market, got those juicy yields of about 17 to 20% on a government security. And then as interest rates came down, the value of the bond goes up. So you're getting 17%, and you're watching the price of your bond double. I mean, it was the perfect play to make at that time. However, this next time around, I'm not so certain that that will hold. In other words, when you say you got to know when to get out, what are you going to get for that silver and gold? You're going to get fiat paper. Unless you've got debt that you need to pay off, and most people probably will, what you want to do is cash out enough to pay down all debt and be debt-free. I wouldn't have an argument against that at all. But to cash it out and just go straight into fiat, I'm not too certain about this next time around, because monetary history does teach us that you can slip off of the boat and and walk off the gangplank. I'm trying to make kind of a corny metaphor here, but you want to be careful. I've already thought this through, and I have a plan. If we're not on some kind of an honest monetary system at the top of the market this next time, I have a plan to maybe basically step out of the market one step at a time, so to speak, so that we don't get left with a bunch of fiat that within another month becomes absolutely worthless. So there's something to consider.
All right, fine. And I think that we only have to see what happened in Argentina, where, of course, about a year and a half ago, everybody who put their money in the bank and believed, of course, what the government told them, that we would never devalue the currency, would always be tied to the dollar, suddenly overnight lost 70% of the value of their holdings. So let's go to Tony, who's calling from Soquel. Hi, Tony. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good. Like the program today. I have a question about the silver leasing that's been going on for some time.
Silver leafing?
Leasing. Yeah. I really started to pay attention to this with the Blanchard versus Barrick lawsuit. Then Barrick got out of the short position, but it does seem that the central banks, and namely possibly China, have been dumping silver to keep the price down through leasing. I was wondering if you had any comment on that.
Well, I do. I've written quite a bit about it. Some of us in the private newsletter, I don't mind sharing some of that with you. First of all, I did an analysis using Frank Veneroso, who's probably, in my view, one of the top gold guys in the world. And I looked at Frank's middle number of how much gold was available versus how much gold has been leased based on his work. And if you look at that chart, what you'll find is about half of all the gold that exists has been leased out. Now, I do the analysis on silver. And if you look at all the silver that's available in the world versus all the leased amount that we can count, twice as much silver has been leased out that now exists. So obviously somebody that's leased silver is not going to get it back. I mean, if you've got, you know, 500 or something and there's only 250 left to pay it back, it obviously cannot be paid back. That's the situation in silver. More has been leased. Twice as much has been leased out than now exists. China, in the GFMS report, the Goldfield Mineral Services Study, which is produced for the Silver Institute, has stated in several of the last years that most of the Chinese silver has been leased. I believe it's a little more complicated than that, and it's interesting you asked this question. I devoted almost the entire August issue that just was released yesterday about the China situation, but I'll just give you a little bit of it for free. Basically, the sources that I have, and this makes a great deal of sense to me, sold forward in the derivatives market. Stan was mentioning a while back about Warren Buffett's take on derivatives, has sold forward during the Buffett bounce, or the Buffett blip, or whatever you call it, when silver made it up over $7 an ounce, at that time, and are now delivering into those obligations. That makes a great deal more sense than selling silver at a historic low, like I just mentioned a moment ago. Now, they may be delivering on a lease contract, they may be delivering on a sale, I don't know. I don't think other than the entities involved would know. But regardless of whether it's a strict sale or a lease, doesn't matter from the standpoint of there's less and less silver as each day goes by. Eventually, the physical market will take command. I believe we have now witnessed a very fundamental change in the silver market. I've been predicting for 12 straight years that summer of 2003 would be the time. It looks like I'm right so far. I hope I don't sound egotistical because I don't mean to be. I work very hard at what I do, and I want to help as many people as possible protect their financial well-being. That's what I'm all about. I believe silver is a very key way to do that. And I do believe the way the market's reacting here, that we are seeing the fundamental shift that I've been predicting for so long. China plays a very important role into it, and I did write substantial information about that in this month's newsletter.
Well, now, of course, what is actually happening as far as the silver? What's it doing at the present time?
Well, Stan, right now, it's had a very difficult time making it over the $5 level, if you can believe it. And in January of 2002, I wrote to my subscribers and I said, I see that we will need to break through to the upside, the $5 barrier, three or four times. And I didn't do that by any magic science. I've just watched the commodities markets for so darn long. And there's these certain things that take place in almost all the commodities. And one of them is when you have a very key resistance level, it takes three or four times for that resistance to be penetrated and then becomes a floor. In other words, it gets through five and then five, it won't go lower than five anymore. I said that at the same time that a lot of bullish silver guys were writing about silver at $15 by Christmas 2002. And I stood my ground. And so basically we had silver go through the $5 level twice. It got pounded down both times. And this 23rd of July, which is just a few weeks back, silver went through the $5 level for the third time since I wrote that in my newsletter. And it seemed to stick this time. It went up in the kind of way you'd want to see in the commodities market, on huge volume and rapidly. It was a 23-cent day move up. It was about over a 5% move up. And it closed on the high, and that's also very bullish. So I've sent out an alert to my readership and told them what I saw happening here and alert them that I didn't think we were going to get pounded down very easily this time. We saw silver stay above $5 the ounce and trade at that level or higher for the next 8 consecutive trading days. Unusual behavior. Normally, once it penetrates 5, it can last just a couple days, 3 or 4, and then it's pounded right back down. Didn't happen this time. We did get under $5 today, by the way, just for clarification. I believe that the fundamental shift has taken place. There's a rumor on the floor of the NYMEX, which is the subset of the commodities exchanges, the New York Mercantile, where the silver pit exists. The rumor is that one of the main commercial traders has basically become very bullish on silver, and interesting, the rumor continues because of a fundamental shift in China. I put all this together, as I said before, in my newsletter, and I've got some interesting outlooks on that. If I'm right, and China is no longer going to provide cheap silver to the West, you will see a very substantial increase in prices.
And now, is China a big silver producer? Is that what it's about?
It really isn't a big silver producer. It's a misnomer. They take a lot of scrap and ore into and smelt because they don't have the EPA problems that we do. So most of the smelting is done in China now of other ore bodies like copper, lead, and zinc, and you get silver as a byproduct. So it's, the net effect isn't that great, but the shorts keep explaining how all the silver is coming out of China. What they don't explain is the net amount is not that great. It's all this imported ore that gets imported first and then comes back out. But they just don't tell you it's imported first.
We're going to have to let you go. We're out of time, but I'm looking forward to having you back and real soon. Thank you so much, David Morgan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Our 4-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination, a 2-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of the American president, and then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out, and if you listen to this 4-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
Well, this is Archer Stan, and let me just mention, of course, we carry a couple of wonderful, wonderful books on the JFK assassination, Regicide, which is, of course, based upon the personal papers of Mr. Robert Crowley, who was Deputy Assistant Director of Clandestine Operations for the CIA. They were the people who worked for the CIA who arranged for assassinations. His papers tell how the CIA assassinated the president, why they assassinated the president, and the fact you haven't heard about this book simply as a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Regicide. And of course, we have a couple of great 4-tape sets. We also have Kill Zone by our good friend Craig Roberts, and we have his other book, The Dead Witnesses. Do you realize over 100 people who witnessed one or another aspect of the assassination were all systematically assassinated and killed? You know why? Because the American people were to never know the truth. Again, the book Regicide, The Dead Witnesses, JFK, The Dead Witnesses, or Kill Zone, all available from Radio Liberty. And then let me simply mention we carry Miracle 2 soap products, and we hope that many of you out there will want to try them. Certainly we use them at our home. We're very, very happy with them, and certainly they give us, we use the gel. I use the gel on all sorts of things, as does my wife. And I really don't know why it works, but I will tell you it does. And we have so many of our listeners who tell us just the miraculous things that benefits of the Miracle 2 soap products. And if you're interested in knowing more, or perhaps even getting an introductory offer of the soap, the moisturizing soap, the lotion and the gel, and of course the neutralizer, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the Miracle 2 soap products. I can assure you won't be sorry if you do. Well, this is Archer Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience, we hope that many of you will decide you'd really like to join the Radio Liberty family of supporters and help us as we reach out across America on a regular basis with the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And for a suggested gift of $20 a month or more, while you'll get our four best tapes of the month, you got our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you're helping us. Now, we do sell some products, but the mainstay of what we do already are those people who, month in and month out, just help Radio Liberty to stay on the air and gradually expand. Now, we, of course, this month we'll be telling you about Be Alive Royal Jelly products, and I can say that we've taken this probably about 9 years, both my wife and myself. We really believe in the product. This is what the queen bee eats in the hive, and the queen bee is just like any other bee, except that she eats royal jelly, and none of the regular bees are allowed to eat that, and she lives 6 years. The poor rest of the bees live about 6 weeks. And, of course, we know that royal jelly is designed, seems to be by nature, to give you more in the way of energy. It's not a quick fix. You take it regularly for a month or 2 months. If at the end of 3 months you don't really feel that you have more in the way of energy, you give them a call, they'll give you your money back. But I don't think you will, because I'm sold on the product. My wife is sold on it. The telephone number is 866-233-7500. That's 866-233-7500. The product is Be Alive Royal Jelly Products. And then, of course, we simply mentioned Alamax, which both my wife and I have taken for about 9 months. And you take it really because I don't want to get a cold or flu, and I can't afford to be away from the microphone. And so far, I've done extremely well. My blood pressure is great. My cholesterol seems to be doing pretty well. If you'd like to know more about Alamax, why don't you call 866-405-4000, that's 866-405-4000, and of course don't forget the Institute of the Constitution. And if you are really concerned about what's happening to our country, and you'd like to begin to reinstitute this belief in the Christian heritage of our country, why don't you call them at 410-760-9068, that's 410-760-9068. And put together an Institute of the Constitution. It's in your community, in your church. It's all there. It's all on videos. All you have to do is show them. And then, of course, you'll have a book, and you have the questions to ask and the answers to expect. A wonderful means of teaching people about our Christian heritage that, of course, has been actively suppressed by the people who control the educational system, who hate Christianity and the Christian foundations upon which our freedom rests. And remember what William Penn had said, those who will not be ruled by God will be ruled by tyrants. And that's, of course, why they've taken God out of America. And then, of course, if you're out there and you are struggling to pay your health care costs, or you don't have any health insurance, why not consider a Christian health care cost sharing program? A Christian health care cost sharing program is called MediShare. If you'd like to know more, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like to go to our website, it's radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com. And you can see pictures of the various Berkey water filters there. We carry both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Light, and you can see them and of course, learn more about how they work. And if you buy them through us, of course, you get a four-tape set or a video that we produced. And then, of course, if you'd like a free copy of our newsletter, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And finally, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for our leaders and our ministers. We ask you to pray for revival, because if we don't have revival in America, America will be lost. And lastly, we ask you to remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow at the same time, Dr. Stan, goodbye. May the Lord be with you.